fighting the good fight of faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for tuning in today to this Friday session of Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and as a listener-supported program, we are very thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We trust they are a blessing to you, and if you have been encouraged by them, if you've grown from them over the years, we do need your prayerful and financial support. P.O. Box 732, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Well, on this Friday session of Abounding Grace Radio, I love to think about the Psalms. The Psalms are so encouraging. They are so real about life. They are the prayers and the songs inspired by God of the saints who have gone before us. They are correcting things. They are showing us the realities of life, the hardships of life, teaching us a lot about music, by the way. I've got a lot to say on that, but that's another program. Psalm 29 is what I want to consider with you today in the short time that we're here. I'm going to read the psalm, and then we'll unpack what this is about. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splits the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And everyone in his temple says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, that's probably not a psalm that you've given a lot of attention to, but this psalm is really a powerful psalm correcting a low view of God among the peoples in the earth. And this is the great problem that has always gone on, that ever since the beginning, ever since the fall, that mankind has tried to refashion God back into its own fallen image. It's been correctly said, if God created us in his image, we have tried to return the favor by recreating him into ours. This psalm is given to correct that. This psalm is given to raise our view of God out of the roof and bring about a respect, a reverence, an understanding of his holiness. And here this is given by inspiration through David, as what we have here in three parts of this psalm are really a summon to worship him, a call to consider his voice, and then a call to worship him in his temple, understanding his peace and strength. So let's unpack this a little bit. The beginning part of this psalm is really a summon to worship. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What's going on? Why is David saying this? The old word ascribe is really powerful here. Ascribe unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. What's David reacting against? David is deeply troubled that in the earth, there are so many who are going through life. There are so many going through life, and they are refusing to acknowledge and give credit to whom credit is due. In other words, they are refusing to do the thing they were created for. God created us to worship him, to enjoy him, to glorify him. And what a tragedy that there are so many millions and billions of people who've lived on the face of this earth who refuse to worship the Lord. And so David is giving this call under the inspiration of the Spirit. Come, worship Bow down. You know, worship in the Old Testament means to bow down. That was the way, showing great honor, great respect, great reverence for this holy God who dwells among the cherubim in his utter holiness, walled off in all of that splendor and in all of that glory. And so this is what the call was, to come, to consider God, to glorify God, to worship God. We think of this in the same vein as Psalm 2, that so many in the earth have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. And David sees the sheer folly in this. How many are going through life worshiping themselves or worshiping other idols that cannot speak, that cannot talk, their minds and their hearts controlled by these things? And the Lord is God. So this is the call that David gives. And then the question that comes out is, how do you raid people's minds of a low view of God? They don't understand whom they are rejecting. They don't understand how great the one is whom they have not bowed down the knee and worshiped. I mean, that's the great issue. If there happened to be an unbeliever who's tuned in right now and is listening to this, have you ever considered who you are rejecting? That's what this psalm is confronting you with. What he does at this point is describe a storm. A storm. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splits the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. What's he describing? Well, the nation of Israel and the Jews would have understood what he's describing. This is called a storm theophany, where the Lord is riding over the storm as on a chariot, and underneath his feet is blackness and darkness and lightning and thunder and glory. I mean, this is in the same vein with Psalm 18. Psalm 18 also describes a storm theophany. Listen to it. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. That is Psalm 29, isn't it? Psalm 18 and Psalm 29 in the same vein. So picture the scene with me for a minute. You can't understand this psalm unless you've gone out into the middle of the field and looked at the oncoming storm. Deep within the Mediterranean, all of a sudden the waters hurl up. You look out into the Mediterranean to the north, and there is blackness. Terror is coming. A storm is brewing. It's a storm unlike anything we've ever seen before. There, under it, is lightning and flashing and thunder that rocks the whole region. On top of it is the Lord. The Lord in all of his thundering, powerful glory. It's coming. What does the psalm say? Everyone sees this storm and is thinking, what? We better get out of the way. What does this storm do? The Lord is riding it as on the cherub, and he breaks out. And what is the first thing he confronts when he comes to the land? This is the northernmost part of the land. What's the first thing the psalm describes? He shatters the cedars of Lebanon. You know, the cedars of Lebanon were massive cedar trees. Remember, the Temple of Solomon was built out of these. Hundreds of feet tall. But what was interesting is that they had a 45-foot circumference. These things have the most complex root systems in all of the world. They are towering giants. I want you to picture this. All over the northern part of the land of Israel are these cedars of Lebanon. And then the psalm mentions Lebanon and Syrian. Syrian is another name for Mount Hermon. So a formidable foe stands up at the northern part of the land, a giant mountain with towering cedars all over it. Here comes the Lord in all of his thundering glory, glory and strength and dominion and power. The thunder rocks the whole region as it approaches the land off of the Mediterranean. What does it do to this great mountain and all of its cedars? You know what it says in verse 6? His voice is so powerful. His voice is so full of majesty. Lebanon and Syrian skip like a calf. He blows the cedars to bits by his glory, his thundering, storming glory. And the mountain runs in terror from the presence of the Lord. What a chilling thought, isn't it? This is how powerful the Lord's voice was. And you'll remember, this voice was always likened. Israel's most devastating experience in the wilderness was when? It was on Mount Sinai when the Lord came down. When he came down in his thundering glory, remember what happened? All they said was, "Let Moses speak with us. His voice is so terrifying. Don't let us see God or we will die." That glory, that splendor, that radiance, that beauty, that engulfing fire in his utter holiness trembled everyone to dust. Anytime anyone saw a vision or heard the voice of the Lord, they dropped as dead. That's what Israel experienced. The storm breaks down from the Mediterranean, shatters the cedars, it breaks through the mountains, it makes its way through the wilderness of Kadesh, the holy wilderness, and here the psalm says, it lays everything in its path waste. Everything is wasted, everything is destroyed. This is how powerful God is, dear listener. Who's considering that today? Who's bowing? Who's worshiping with that kind of understanding? You see, the psalm describes God in his terrifying glory when he comes in judgment. In fact, it says in verse 10, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood. It was the Lord at the flood when he judged the world that then was. The way of escape is given in verse 9, and everyone in his temple says glory. I envision everyone when they see the storm running to the temple. What was done in the temple? It was the announcement of forgiveness. It's where the gospel was preached. It's where the sacrifice, which pointed to Christ, was done. It is there that God's people found protection and strength. And that's how this psalm ends. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Jesus is the only one who can calm the storm of God's wrath. In his day, he did calm that storm for his disciples. And they found shelter under his wings. This God of all glory will thunder again in righteousness and judge the world that now is. Everyone will have to give an account. The question is, have you heard his call today to worship him, to come and bow down, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear not the voice of his wrath, but the voice of his gospel? In his church, where the gospel's preached, there is peace and strength for you. That's the comfort he gives to those who believe. I pray that everyone who's heard today would consider Psalm 29 and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all glory, and you will be saved from your sins and the wrath to come. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, so we ask humbly for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.